And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You'll be the best and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Well, Jordan, the NFL offseason is officially here. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know about you. I was on the edge of my seat all the way till the end. I mean, we talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, how you watch games when you're not covering them. And that was one where I did not have that game on as background noise. I was locked in 100% watching everything that was going on there. And I know everybody in the world has a hot take on what happened. We're not going to get into that, but certainly one of the more interesting games that I've seen in recent memory, a compelling, well-played, all of those things pretty much checked every box. So I'm sure the NFL was thrilled.
Yeah. You know, it was a hold. James Bradbury admitted it. I think the Eagles were really classy about it in their response post game. And at that point, your playoff bonuses are so big that you stop caring about the fines you get for criticizing the refs. So you could let it fly if you want to at that point. But normally players are fined for criticizing the refs. But I thought that was really classy the way they handled it. My issue, and I think we're on the same page with this, Rich, is yes, it was a hold, but also not a single hold had been called at any other point in the game. And so my issue is, if you're going to call something or not call something, keep it consistent through the entire game, because at the same time, you know, at the end of that, it turns into a game altering call when there hadn't been any such calls, when there are always holds in games, there hadn't been any such calls previous to that. And to me, you know, there's a lot of, I think, arguments about whether, you know, the ball was going to be catchable, those types of things in the first place. So that's all fair. I just think that I don't believe one single word of Roger Goodell's phrasing that the officiating has never been better this year. I'm like, well, it's a low bar, first of all, but second of all, my God. And I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, there's a lot of conversation about this in the offseason heading into the combine in the next couple of weeks. A bunch of committees will meet, and in March at league meetings, I'll be there. A bunch of committees will meet and discuss sort of the arc of the league and different roles and proposals and those types of things. Officiating is sure to be one major topic, as well as playing surfaces.
Yes,
Rich.
I thought of you. I thought of you during the game when guys
it hurt my soul watching that, looking at that
out
field.
There. Yeah.
And the thing is like the piece, I'm sure a lot of you guys have checked it out at The Athletic. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page. I would advise you going to read it if you haven't. But it can happen on grass too. There's no standard safety protocols for a universally agreed upon best surface. And that surface, whether it's grass or turf, there you can do kind of whatever the hell you want for your surface, depending on what you want to spend. And it sounded like, you know, additional reporting came out about the blend of the grass that was used, and it hadn't really been played on. It was brand new. And so obviously there's no stress testing involved there. And then it was, you know, it was like built to be more aesthetically pleasing than, and so then there's questions about the type of paint that was used. Yes, it is very dry in the desert, but as a Phoenix resident, former longtime born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona, I can tell you that the dew point does change from day to night. That's quite literally how plants in the desert get their water and store it. Hello, cacti enthusiasts. And so it's, you know, it can change, even subtle changes like that when combined with a bunch of other factors, such as stress and also the massive amounts of paint that were on that field, and new paint at that. I think that's those are all things to look into. It's certainly something I'm fascinated by, but it was unacceptable. It's interesting. You know, there's not, you don't want to like make excuses for any one team. It was a great game. It was fantastic. I mean, both teams played so well. The adjustments the Chiefs made at the half were incredible, but it is interesting when you have a game that's that close, every margin matters. And I would say the field was a significant variable in that game where it was going to come down to one or two things either way being the difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's, it's not something that it certainly wasn't a holding call where everybody went, oh my goodness, but you saw the way the guys were just sliding and pulling up turf there. And it just, oof. I mean, you're right, Jordan. I thought the same thing. It's like you can just as easily hurt your knee or your ankle or whatever it may be on a surface like that as you can on a artificial turf surface. So,
well, I will counter that just slightly, just a tiny bit, because grass doesn't catch.
It gives.
So let's say that's turf. You won't slide that much on turf, frankly, like unless the turf is wet, which we don't know what the condition was of this field, but the turf will catch your cleat. So clean. It won't divot. You won't see the divots, which make for an ugly field, but there's no, you know, you think about every time I watched those slides, I actually thought, wow, this field is terrible. And then also I thought, wow, thank God this field is it the same condition on turf?
True.
Because you'd have like 50 busted ACLs at that point because your cleats get caught in the surface instead of releasing as grass releases the cleat and forms the divots.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, it's a different.
It's all bad.
In summation,
it's all bad.
Well, Jordan, it's over, and we did finally get to the answers to the questions that we were asking last week, which was primarily, what the heck are the Indianapolis Colts doing, and when are they going to do something? They did. They made a move, and the last two coaching vacancies got filled, both from the staff of the Philadelphia Eagles, with Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon going to their respective new teams, which means that the Rams now, presumably, I always hesitate to say anything declaratively when these things happen, but the presumption at least is that Raheem Morris will be back as the defensive coordinator, and now that opens the possibility to start having those dominoes fall that we talked about, and maybe bringing in some other folks to fill those positions. So Jordan, if you want to just give us a little rundown maybe of what that means. First of all, I want to ask you a question. Were you surprised? We know Raheem Morris's name was going to be involved in a lot of these, and obviously he was considered a serious candidate. Surprised at all that he didn't get a job this round? How much of that was tied to just the fact that the Rams had a terrible year? And now that he is back, what do you think will happen with the rest of that staff? What do you see any dominoes falling here in the near future?
Yeah, I was more surprised last year when they won the Super Bowl and pitched these crazy defensive games and, you know, were just like hair on fire through the second half, especially the last part of the season and through the playoffs, and were so variable and multiple with what they did. I was more surprised, and then they won the Super Bowl. I was more surprised, and probably surprised is the wrong word, but frustrated, I think, to see that still he was barely getting interviews, let alone head coaching jobs. And this time around, I guess because we didn't really know what the Colts were, kind of a wild card anyway. So I don't know if surprise is the right word either. I did hear that he was, you know, significantly considered, and somebody who, you know, a lot of people on that staff, in that front office, really liked and truly considered to be a finalist for this job. And that's part of what made it so complicated, was because, you know, the Rams didn't really know what was going to happen. And there also was a sense that if he left for a head coaching job, a lot of people would go with him from all phases of the building, not just, you know, a couple of coaches. And, you know, they'd probably try to block some people, but other people, like in certain support staff roles, like you really can't block them. So it's that part of it. So super interesting to me. We'll never know what would have been, what could have been. We only know what, you know, what I've heard and that type of thing. And so I think that's a fascinating element to it, because it's sort of a best case scenario, because the process lasted so long. Obviously, it's frustrating to see Raheem, you know, not get that opportunity for a head coaching job. And if the Rams, as they hope to do, improve on defense next year and actually produce the numbers that they are accustomed to doing, I think that you start, you know, you still see him get opportunities in that regard. But I also think that it's pretty clear that the Colts are going to go all in looking for quarterback and figuring out their next person at quarterback for the long term, an offensive staff. Shane Steichen and Brian Johnson over in Philly did such a heck of a job developing Jalen Hurts, and he's become a franchise quarterback. You know, I think he always had the personality traits for that, but in terms of the mechanics and the consistency, I mean, it's just been remarkable to see the improvement. And so I think the Colts look at that and they say, okay, take whatever you did there and just like bring it over here because they've struggled so much. I also don't think I'd like to dig into this a little bit. This is weird, but like, he kind of looks like gaunt Andrew Luck to me. Like, don't you think that?
Wow, I had not thought of that.
I can't not see it, right? Like, he's just like hollow-cheeked Andrew Luck, right? Like, and it's not, that's not an insult at all. It's just, to me, it's like, oh, like, I don't know. I'd be really curious to dig into some of the psychology of this, frankly. It's like, I'm not saying that's a factor. I'm just saying it's like, it's a little uncanny in my mind. So you guys go look at pictures and you'll see what I mean. But yeah, you know, I guess, you know, that hire makes sense. Raheem Morris would also have made sense, but I get why they would go in the direction. But I think for the Rams, like, there was not, especially after a certain point as other people got hired, there was not really a sense of a real and like option A backup plan available, because Jiro Evero was their option A backup plan. And you know, he got a really well-deserved job in a well-paid job in Carolina. And you're starting to see the effects of that staff coming together. And then, you know, they weren't going to consider like a wholesale scheme change unless they were also considering blowing up their entire roster on defense, which, even if they're in a quote unquote rebuild or remodel or retool, this is not a team that's necessarily want to tear everything down and start from total scratch. Like, they do these things where they retool at a sprint. You saw this from 2019 to 2020. So it would have kind of gone outside their model to go after a Steve Wilks or a Brian Flores, even though those two are great coaches and they'll be awesome where they're at. But in the case of Minnesota, I think Minnesota just thought, hey, we need this guy in our building. We need to figure it out on defense. Maybe they're shifting away from what they had done previously. And so I think that the Rams are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. So this is really a, I hate to say best case scenario, because it stinks for Raheem that he didn't get the job. Right. But in terms of where the team is at, totally, it's like, to me, sort of a best case scenario in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sean McVay is happy about it too.
Yeah, no, you certainly didn't want to have to deal with that, all that again.
It's like his best friend too. Like,
yeah. So good for, and you know, Raheem, I can't imagine his name's going to fall out of these conversations, you know, over the next year or so. Certainly a deserving candidate. But Jordan, what about these dominoes now? Should we expect to see some of them fall relatively quickly?
Yeah, I think so. Like, for example, back in January, like, by the time you guys hear this podcast, there may already be news. That's just the nature of the way things are going. Contracts are, you know, being presented to people and then signed, and coaches are in the building, and then things officialize and coaches are in the building this week. They're still waiting on a couple of things. Obviously, I'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, you've seen people, like, in January, I connected the Rams to the name Jimmy Lake and the name Aubrey Pleasant, who, you know, I can't hint more strongly than that. Right. And so I think that, you know, you're going to start to see the dominoes fall in that regard now that they have the understanding and the recognition that they can keep what they have on a staff on defense other than the coaches they let go. In place with under Raheem Morris. And so you're going to start to see and hear more of those things, other than, again, the extremely strong hints since January, but I still get tweets. I see them. And it's funny. So, So you're going to start to see those fall, and then other coaches getting hired elsewhere or potentially getting hired elsewhere. So other coaches are filling out their staffs in other places, which significantly does affect some of the ways that the Rams can run some of their operations. So, for example, Thomas Brown, today's Wednesday morning that we're recording this, Thomas Brown's interviewing for the Tampa Bay OC job. And then tomorrow, Thursday, he's interviewing for the Carolina Panthers OC job. And what I've heard is that he is extremely well thought of in both of those buildings and a really strong candidate for either of those jobs. And it almost sounds like he might have the opportunity to sort of take his pick, which one he wants. We don't know until we know, but I do think that he is an extremely sought after candidate in that regard. And so, you know, we'll see by the end of the week how that shakes out, what happens. And then, you know, Sean McVay's got to fill that staff in other ways. And so the life cycle of the hiring process still is stretching on, I think, much further. It feels like much further. I don't think it really is, but it feels like it because the Rams weren't in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs this year. So there was this gap of time. So it feels different, but that gap of time, it's not like they're not working on contingency plans. It's just that everybody else is in the, you know, a lot of other teams are in the playoffs and they're focused on that and they're not doing coaching stuff. And then their timeframes haven't opened to get their staffs in place. And then Carolina, you know, had made the hire, and then Frank Reich started, you know, taking the time to fill out his staff and was waiting. Sounds like waiting on Philadelphia to see what happened there. With Brian Johnson. And so it's just interesting, the timeline. What I think, it's a great practice and exercise in patience for some in that building of like, not everyone is on your timeline. You didn't make the playoffs, so not everyone is on your timeline. If you want them to be, make the playoffs.
That's a very wise words there. Yeah, if you don't want to go through this, you don't have to. You just have to make the playoffs.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jordan, the one thing that we did learn, and this kind of, you know, these things happen so fast, it almost feels like old news now, but to me, significant news that the Rams did hire Ryan Wendell as their offensive line coach. And get the chart here ready. Ryan Wendell comes from the Buffalo staff, where he worked under Aaron Cromer, the Rams' former offensive line coach. And now, Jordan, you reported a few days ago that the Rams are also going to promote Zach Cromer, who is Aaron's son, the son of the former offensive line coach, to be the assistant to Ryan Wendell. So I hope everything makes sense there. Jordan, the hire, what did you think? I mean, I know there was kind of some question of how they would go with that hire. Would they go with somebody a little bit with more experience in that role? Ryan Wendell obviously had a playing career, seemed to be very well regarded in his current or in his former role, I guess now. The path that they chose on that, that's always something that's interesting to me. From your perspective, what did the Rams know about this guy, Ryan Wendell, and you know, what do you think sent them down that path with him?
Yeah, he's got a pretty impressive resume as a player, played in the league for almost a decade. And I think that's part of, and also, but it's where he played too. He played in New England, obviously under Bill Belichick. Sean McVay is such an admirer of Bill Belichick, as we know. And so I think a coach who was a player in that position, at such a high level, I think that adds, like we said, there were some communication issues, and I've said this. And so now you kind of remove that layer. You've got someone who knows directly how to communicate with players on their level, because they did play the position at such a high level. So I think that's part of what they were looking at with Ryan Wendell. And then also being a pupil under Aaron Cromer. I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to connect the dots in terms of the resume here of why they went after him. And I would say too, I don't know if I'll at any point be able to report this down the line, or if this will be made official or formally announced by the team, but there also have been some kind of creative options they've talked about in terms of various veteran coaches who might be open to consulting with the role, since it will be two young coaches handling this offensive line in a really pivotal, crucial time for this offensive line to get its feet back under itself and a lot of big personnel decisions to make. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure when that is, you know, gets maybe formalized or not. It's like I said, it's fluid. So Twitter doesn't pay me, so I'm not, I'm hesitant to, you know, just put stuff out there or respond to some things that I see. But trust me, like, there are some creative options also being discussed as it pertains to how the offensive line is coached and what that looks like from a on the field role to the coaches who are there every day and coordinating the offensive line and all of the protection. And then also from the sort of consulting standpoint, and they basically want this to just be fixed and better. And so that's interesting. And I think the Cromer connection is not unnotable with, you know, with Ryan Wendell. It's interesting. It's really funny. I got a tweet. I was just looking it up, Rich. Our friend Ken V at KVIRZI had what I think was the comment of the week when I broke the Zach Cromer news. He said, "It's a Wendell sandwich on Cromer bread."
I saw that.
and our buddy Wags also said, tell me they miss Aaron Cromer without actually telling me they miss Aaron Cromer. So I think, you know, it's people get it. I think people understand kind of what's happening here. I do have one funny, crazy thing. Now it's going to make me feel extremely old. I covered Ryan Wendell as a player the last year of his career.
Oh, no.
I know. The last year of his career, he was in Carolina. And he was like, kind of depth. He's a veteran addition. Wasn't there long, I think November or something. I couldn't tell you whether we ever met or not, frankly. Like, right, I was, 24. in a locker room. That was my first year, like full year in a locker room. When you're a young reporter, you definitely leave the offensive lineman alone. Like, you know, I don't, Ryan Khalil, like, would hold court over there and that was his space. And you do not mess around in that space or like go up to be like, Ryan Khalil was the guy. He was the man. He's awesome. Movie producer now, actually pretty cool. Yeah. You guys should check out his stuff, but yeah, it was wild. I was texting with Ryan the other day. I was like, holy shit. I feel old. He's like, how do you think I feel? Like, so I think this is the first time a player that I covered, or quote unquote, I mean, I guess I never really wrote anything about him. So, but like a player I covered is now a coach on a staff that I currently cover. I know you probably
wait. You have so much ahead of you.
My sweet summer child.
Just wait. Just wait until you see a name on a roster and you go, I know that name. And then you look and it's the kid of somebody who you covered. That is the worst feeling you get to the end, like, you know, Dustin Brown just retired from the LA Kings. And I'm like, you're how old? Like that? No, that's not possible. I covered you when you like, something's wrong here. Cause if you're that old, that means that I'm, oh no, that's bad. It's a big hire to me, Jordan. And
yeah,
I know
it's
we've
an
talked
important
about
one
that.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to hear, very interested to hear your add in there about possibly bringing in a consultant. Not saying that needs to happen. I'm not saying it's an indictment against anybody. I think it's a smart thing for them to do, to look at all their options there. And if that room can be enhanced, if that group can be enhanced by somebody like that, then they absolutely should look at it.
Yeah. And I think some of the importance there is there's so many guys coming off of significant injuries. You know, there are really, I think, promising young players on that roster who they want to keep developing and moving forward. And Tremaine Ankrum and Alaric Jackson and Chandler Brewer and like people who, and Logan Bruss, like people who they've invested in, but at the same time are still, you know, I would say other than maybe Alaric, is like they're unknowns. Because so you really need someone to offer that perspective of like, you know, here are some of the tells that I've seen. And so I think that Ryan Wendell, being a veteran who had the experience of being a veteran player and sort of a player coach too, when he was playing, and then also now having the coach experience is very, very solid in my opinion. And we won't know until we see, but solid in my opinion. But at the same time, like having a, you know, more experienced consultation, I think also would be helpful in this case. And it's certainly why they've at least been exploring this option. Again, it's a fluid situation, so we're going to have to wait and see on it, but definitely something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Yeah, we don't need to see the tweets that Jordan Rodriguez reporting that the Rams are going to hire. We don't need that to happen. So no, please, yeah, please don't.
Fluid. It's not that I know that this feels like, again, a larger expanse of time than usual, that things aren't necessarily all out on the table, but you know, there are reasons for that. And again, it feels like that because the Rams weren't in the playoffs. So bear with us, bear with me, be patient. They say it's a virtue. It's very hard to do this time of year, but everything is coming together. And from just people that I've talked to in the building, who are in a position to have the knowledge about this, it sounds like the staff overall is pretty strong so far. There's good impressions so far of overall some of the people that we know, and we know some of them. I reported the tight ends coach, and I reported the O-line coach, and then hinting very strongly at some other coaches. And I think you just gotta wait and see, but I do think that there's so far some pretty significant optimism coming out of the building right now.
Yeah. So let's look ahead a little bit, because as we say, the wheel never stops spinning. And as hard as this is to believe, in 2 weeks, the NFL world will descend upon Indianapolis for the combine.
My God.
It's just so You know, where are the Rams on this, Jordan? I remember, you know, the last trip that I took before the pandemic was to the combine, and I happened to be on the flight with Les and Sean, and they packed very lightly.
That's where we met, Rich.
That's where we met in in Indianapolis, a very chilly weekend in Indianapolis. But the Rams have a certain way that they've approached the combine in recent years, and I don't say that with any judgment at all. It's just that they have a way that they like to do things and the way that they value their time, whether it's there or here or anywhere. So how are they likely to approach this one, Jordan, when everybody meets up in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I don't think I would expect many changes. You know, I would be surprised if Les and Sean were there in person. This is one of those things where even before the pandemic, they were moving toward them not going, and you know, some of the top brass, they get all of the information they need from all of these prospects from the combine. Like, they provide the teams with all the data they need, and the interview process with players, like, they it's not like the players are walking into empty rooms and there's no Rams personnel there. There are Rams personnel there. Like, assistant coaches filter out through the week, scouts filter out in and out through the week. The medical staff is there the entire week. And that is, like, I want to reiterate, the most important part of the NFL combine is getting the official formal medicals on all the players. And so the Rams training staff does that, and they're there the entire week. And you know, you'll see some executives go in and out because there's things like the big data bowl presentations are there, and some of the forums, and some, you know, quiet committee meetings. And then that's where a lot of, you know, agents descend upon Indianapolis and have some free agency conversations. So they will go. Like, there are people that will go. The Rams don't, like, boycott the combine. I think when I wrote about all those things about their change in processes, it kind of got a little bit out of control to the point where, like, I would talk to scouts and they would say, yeah, you know, I had a ex-reporter text me and being like, you know, will I see you at this, this all-star event, or is this another one you guys don't show up to? Like, kind of snarky stuff. And I'm like, well, that's never what was being reported. They just changed their workflow to where the people who feel like they work the best to going and being in person, and if it's relevant and required for them to be there, they go. If they don't, they don't. And they get all of the same information either way, and they get all of the same time. And what I think people forget is these scouts are on the road all year getting literal FaceTime with prospects, with players while they're in college, with them as they go do some of their private workouts, with them as they do, you know, with all of the coaches, with all of their family, with their, you know, it's like, it's very under the radar, but it's, like, very, very significant throughout the entire rest of the year. So by the time you get to the combine, what you really need is the medical clearance on some of the players. And they don't really see a ton of value in the car wash of interviews because it's not a real situation. You're never going to be a player in a situation where you have to rattle off 32 5-minute interviews in a row. They more so want to get to know the players, like, authentically and holistically. And so that's what they spend their time doing, as opposed to just showing up for the sake of showing up somewhere that's not efficient work for them. But they do have people that are there all week. And also, you know, they do a lot of, you know, wheeling and dealing conversationally during that week. That last time last year, Les and Sean were not at the combine, but I ran into a bunch of assistant coaches who were there throughout the entire week, in and out. I ran into scouts, I ran into the medical staff. And then also, you know, that was where I got some really valuable intel on what Matthew Stafford's contract structure was going to look like. So this is something where things happen. It's just that the Rams have changed their process to be a little bit more efficient for what works for them. That being said, they're always reevaluating that process. And I would assume they are deeply reevaluating some of the ways that they're looking for depth and some of the things that they need to do, because this is a really important draft for them. They absolutely have to nail this draft. They have to nail every draft, but, you know, you look at, like, a 33% hit rate as being successful. And this one, I would say, has some significance because not only is it the starting point essentially for the depth that they will build into 2026, but also it is the they've needed to overhaul some of their depth at other positions as well.
Yeah, I agree. I know we're going to talk a lot more about that as we get closer to April, but I agree that it's a big draft for them. Jordan, do you have a favorite lurking spot
I've got a few. So one of my favorite lurking spots is there's a Starbucks outside of the JW Marriott, as you know, and it's where like every our great colleague Bo Wolf did this amazing piece from there, just talking like everyone who filters in and out. I hope he does it again this year. Everyone, like, you can't, there's no, everything's in a big series of tunnels at the combine. So you almost have to pass that Starbucks, or you have to go to that Starbucks if you at all want good coffee. Or Starbucks is not really good coffee, but if you want passable, like non sitting in a canteen for overnight coffee that the rest of the event provides, like if you want, you know, your little latte or whatever, like you go to that Starbucks. And so you see all kinds of people, you meet all kinds of people there, just like standing in line. It's a pretty significant, and the line itself, you know, stretches depending on the time you go. And there's all these little meetings that pop up on the tables around there. So daytime, that's the best lurking spot. And then also right outside in that main hallway, cause everybody walks past, and there are the key is you got to snag a chair, cause you're on your feet all day and you're running around everywhere. And the key is you got to snag one of these little chairs that's outside in that hallway, so that you can kind of just like take, you know, work on your stuff and take a load off. And then when you see a coach or a personnel person walking past that you need to talk to, that's when you can, hey, oh my gosh. And then like, hopefully you have something to super seat save. That's like the strategy. And then at night, obviously, there are a variety of great lurking spots all in the downtown area that are frequented by people at the combine.
Yeah, there's a few restaurants that I think base their entire year on who's going to come to the combine and who's going to get their tables. So it really is fascinating. I'd forgotten about that story about the Starbucks, but it truly so is. It's
probably
like
favorite thing that I read last year. Yeah, it was so good.
It's the intersection of the NFL world right there. Is every but literally anybody who is anybody is going to walk by that Starbucks at some point. So it's pretty funny. So good time. And the other thing is, it's usually like 20 to 30 degrees outside. So you're not going to want to walk down the street to go to get coffee. You're going to go to that Starbucks. That was my experience anyway.
Yeah, and it's that's somebody exactly right.
Who
yeah.
didn't want to go out in the freezing cold. Jordan, I know you're going to get a ton of great insight from being there too. So really excited about that. And I am excited because I know what you have coming. Neither want to nor am in position to spill any dirt about what it is, but I know, and I mean this sincerely, you have spent a really long time working on this story that I think Rams fans are going to certainly appreciate, but that NFL fans are really going to appreciate. So what do you want to tell us about what we should expect next week from your story?
Yeah, keep an eye out. The draft is in. So we'll see. I'm kind of just like in pace and panic mode at this point and, you know, tying up a couple more loose ends and all of that. But yeah, a story that I've been reporting for the last six-ish months is coming out next week at The Athletic. As far as I know now, it'll be one of our front page stories. So definitely make sure to keep an eye out for that. It's complicated, you know. It is what I will say about it is it is definitely a complicated story. It's going to be one where I would hope that people read it a couple of times to really let some of the nuance of it sink in. There's some newsworthy items in it as well. And what I'm hoping is that people enjoy it and people learn something and maybe are impacted in any number of ways by some of the conversations that took place in it. So that's my hope. It could completely crash and burn. We don't know. This is last year at this time. I was like, I felt this way about the Jalen Ramsey feature because it was such a project of such magnitude that I was like deeply antagonistic in my own mind about like what it was and how it would turn out. And I'm always very critical of myself and my own work. And so I hope you guys like it. I've worked very, very hard on it, carried a lot of heaviness in my brain over it for the last couple of months, and it felt really good to turn the draft in because it was quite literally expelling things out that have been there. And I think, you know, everybody's been affected in some way by this season, and I won't ever pretend to be even like among the most relevant on that list, but everybody was affected by this season. And so it felt really good to get that draft turned in.
Yes. I was going to say, Jordan, going through that existential crisis that every reporter goes through when they file their story, it's at the same time the greatest relief and also the greatest terror.
Yeah. Dread.
So, but I can tell you, you have nothing to fear. Everybody will see the fruit of what Jordan does every day. And I don't think that can be understated either. This is not something that you just start on and do for 2 weeks and then you finish a story. This is the fruit of day after day after day, for week after week, for month after month, putting in that work, getting to know people, getting them to trust you, getting them to talk to you, getting them to tell you things that they don't necessarily tell other people. That doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen just from sitting in press conferences. Kudos to you, Jordan, and we'll talk about it again after it comes out. I'm itching to ask you so many questions.
I know. So here's the thing, a little inside baseball, guys, too. So Rich, as you guys know, Rich was my editor when I first jumped on the LA beat, and he did such a tremendous job covering the Rams himself. And like, you guys have heard my stories about how Rich sent me a Google Doc like my first week of all of the things that he thought maybe I needed to know. But it included things that Rich is so good at, which is people. Like, oh, and then here's something about this person that's relevant that other people may not think is, here's a detail about their personality that you may need to know when you approach them for the first time, like stuff like that. And it was so wild. Like, it was such a springboard for me in getting into it. And so then when Rich was moved over to hockey, being like the decades long expert in that subject, that he is.
Centuries.
Yeah. He was, not to make you sound a certain age, but like really huge amount of experience there. So he's moved over there. So he's not my editor anymore. We are so grateful and fortunate that we still do this podcast and we love doing it. But when I feel very nervous about something, and I know that Rich has just been just like in place in and watching how people are and how people change and grow and don't grow, and how this organization has been shaped over the last several years, like Rich, he still, his insight is so valuable. So I still send him, it's like the roughest cut that exists. And I still send it to him so that he can read it because I'm like, so at a certain point, I've been so entombed in my own brain on it that I'm just like, you look at this, you take it. And so that's kind of what we've been doing over the last week. And it's over to my actual editors now. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, some people might not be so interested in that behind the scenes, but we really like you guys and we like being transparent with where we're at and how we do this job. It's a job that, like, you know, we're so fortunate to do. And I know I feel that way. And I know Rich feels that way, but it also is pretty grimy in some parts and not glorious in some parts. And so we like to share those parts with you just as much as we like to say, hey, you know, stood in line at the Starbucks behind Kwesi Adofo Mensah. Like they had, you know, they, you know, those, it's like, you know, it's a little bit of a roller coaster here.
Right. Can you believe he gets extra foam? I can't believe it.
I know that's maybe my story that I should do this year is I should stay at the Starbucks and I should psychologically analyze everybody's order. Maybe I should do that.
That would be great. That would be great.
So, before you order, just so you know, you're on the record.
Yes, exactly. This is public. This is a public declaration. Yeah. Jordan, can't wait for that. Excited to talk to you and find out what's going on at the combine. A lot of stuff still going on. I know you're already working on draft stuff, you know, roster breakdowns. Look, I know this is starting to sound like a long commercial. That wasn't my intention, but just because it's the off season doesn't mean that the content is going to dry up. If anything, it gets even more compelling at times. So thank you again. As Jordan said, I echo everything about being grateful for our subscribers, for our listeners here. Thank you so much for being on board. And if you're not on board, hey, I just gave you a great reason, right? I mean, you can join up right now. That story will land right in your app or however you access the Athletic, push notification, whatever. You'll find it. And if you want to do that right now, you get the whole year's worth of coverage. We'll have you covered through the next Super Bowl. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Hey, what timing?
Go to theathletic.com/11personnel right now. Right now, because we're done with this episode, and get Jordan's favorite thing in the entire world, which is what?
A great discount. You guys, once again, they're letting us just do this. I don't know. Nobody stopped us yet. But my favorite thing in the world, a great discount, which you get if you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast. Every single time you get this discount, guys, it's going to be, I mean, buckle in, my friends. I'm just like, I know I've been saying this over. Jonathan Gannon stole my line, by the way. What the hell, man? Like, he said, buckle in.
Oh,
like,
buckle in.
In his video, which also made me feel somehow like I was being arrested. Like, he, it's, that is my line, Jonathan Gannon, not yours. Anyways, so, buckle in, guys, because, oh my goodness, it is about to be a wild ride moving forward. And I love that you guys are all here with us every single step of the way. You can be here with us and you can follow along at theathletic.com. Please continue to take care of yourselves. Stay hydrated. Be good to each other. Be good to yourselves. Stay caffeinated, and we will catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.